Hello and welcome to the first Witness Rugby Chat of 2025 with myself, James Gordon, and Mike Parsons. We're recording after Witness's first hit out of the new year, a welcome win, shall we say, over Warrington 36-22 on Friday night. We'll talk about that match a little bit. We'll have a look at how Witness is shaping up to 2025. We'll hear from Alan Coleman, who gave a little bit of reaction to the game against Warrington. And we'll try and fill you in with some of the latest news that's been going on. And we'll start, I guess, Mike, with some breaking news as we came to record, is that Widnes have signed Wales winger Rhys Williams. I think, in fact, he's Wales' record appearance holder, Rhys Williams, previously of Salford. And it'll come as no surprise to many people, previously of Swinton. What do you think of that signing, Mike?
To be honest, James, I think we, like I say, we was discussing off camera. I think at first, a little bit of head scratcher, mainly because of the age, 35. Obviously, you know, last season we struggled to keep Kieran Dixon and Ollie Brooks happy because obviously Ryan Ince, Mike Butt did a stellar job, was faultless really, and played most of the games. But when you think more deeper into it, you know, the game just gone on Friday, you know, ultimately we was down to one recognised winger, Mike Butt. And then on the other side, Cameron Brown, you know, he seemed to struggle with confidence. He never quite looked comfortable under the high ball and, you know, very quickly become targeted. And then in the second half, obviously, you know, it was great to obviously have Joe Edge back, but, you know, he's a quality centre at this level and you don't want to be stuck with Joe Edge on your wing. You want him in the centres to, you know, impact the game a bit more. So when you think more deeper into it, you know, it was an area where obviously we're short on and, you know, the club have addressed it and I think he'll bring a wealth of experience. He scores tries everywhere he goes. Probably lost a yard of pace now, but it's going to be, you know, a person in the dressing room that the younger lads can certainly look up to and they'll no doubt pass on a lot of knowledge and advice onto the younger players. So thinking more deeper into it, it's probably a sensible signing.
Yeah, I think you probably hit on a good point there, is that if Alan Coleman can keep him happy not playing, if that makes sense, if he's not in the team, he certainly can provide experience to the young lads around him. There was no Ryan Ince on Friday. He's got, a finger issue, which I think they're hopeful he'll be fine for the start of the, well, whenever the start of the season is these days. I suppose it's hard to tell you're playing that many. Do you count the Challenge Cup as the start of the season? Do you count the 1895 Cup as the start of the season? Obviously, Regan Sumner's missing as well. So, like you say, they needed to bring somebody in. I mean, if you look at Rhys Williams, he scored 18 tries last season in 33 games for Swinton in Championship, which probably as good as anybody, really, if you, especially in a struggling team as well. So he knows where the try line is, which is a positive. I guess we'll see how it pans out, whether there's, like you say, I think, you could, a couple of the tries Widnes conceded on Friday, and we'll go into the game a little bit more detail, where they were walk-ins, weren't they, really, a couple of them down the side. I think probably the one in the second half, at the start of the second half, was very much Joe Edge was defending like he was still at centre rather than at the wing. I mean, to be fair, you don't necessarily mind conceding tries in that manner. I think Dennis Betsy's side used to get a lot of grief for, I remember Paddy Flynn used to get a lot of grief, didn't he, for conceding tries outside in. But I actually think if you end up conceding them in the corner like that, it just means that the rest of the team have probably done the job in the middle somewhere and they've had to go out wide to break it. So, a surprise signing, I think, for the reasons that you said, really, in terms of last season there was four wingers and Dixon went early because he couldn't get a game. Ollie Brooks was injured a little bit, so he struggled to get in. And then now you've got back to that stage where you have got four. But we'll have to see how it how it pans out. On the injury front, I did have a brief catch up with Alan Coleman and asked him about Jordan Johnston, who the club announced was struggling with an injury. I believe it's a back problem that he's suffering from, and at the moment, the club aren't too sure. Nobody's too sure about the severity of it, or rather, how long he'll be out for. Which is why that all the other injuries, I think, were given a little bit of a timescale, weren't they? Whereas his was left a little bit open ended. I believe he's just been told to rest it at the moment, just to see how it recovers. I don't think he's taken part in pre-season, so sounds like a. I mean, it sounds negative when you put it like that, but at least it sounds like the club have got it covered in terms, you know, they're monitoring it, and they brought in Aidan Doolan on trial. How did you think he went at Hooker, Mike?
I think he did okay. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't think he. You know, he. He's probably in the top. He wasn't probably in the top five performers, but I don't think he looked out of place whatsoever. He tackled well. He didn't look out of place in collision, and his distribution was spot on. And you know, in years gone by, we have been in this situation where, you know, despite whether Matty Fozard, you know, wants to play 80 minutes, you know, Matty's far more effective, you know, coming off the bench and not having to conserve his energy. And fair play to the club, you know, obviously the winger situation from Friday, they've reacted, they've addressed it. And the same at Hooker, and, you know, a couple more games for Aidan, and I'm sure he'll grow into it. You know, it was only announced in the week, so considering the lads probably had the week with the team, or maybe a week or two before that, and we've just not seen it, but not a long time, and to play such a pivotal role, and in a derby game as well, I think he did okay, and I'm sure he'll be back for it as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because he's been training at Warrington, so he's been in there for their pre-season, so it's an interesting one for them as well, because he went up against Ben Arthill, and you'll hear Alan Coleman say some good things about him in his post-match in a bit, but it's interesting that he's almost going head-to-head with someone who's sort of in the Warrington setup that almost he's trying to get in the way of, if that makes sense. Let's talk about the game in general. Widnes won it quite easy in the end. And to be honest, at the start of the second half, I didn't really see that coming, because I thought Warrington had relative control of the game. They got that try at the start of the second half after the drop off the kickoff. To go, they went 10 points up, didn't they? And I actually thought Warrington looked fairly in control of the game. And I know they made some changes in the second half, but I still felt they looked relatively in control even when they were, after they'd made the changes initially. And the moment that I thought changed, it was the Joe Edge interception close to the line. I think he pulled out that interception. And then after he'd done that, Widnes went up and scored. And I think after that, Widnes were comfortable in the last 20 minutes. They probably, I don't know why that Mike Butt try got disallowed. He said forward pass, but it was never forward in a month for Sundays.
No, like you say, just I was right on line with the Mike Butt try, and there's about three or four that was the same in the game, and for some reason he pulled that one up, which I thought was very unlucky. But yeah, I thought you know, it was a good arm wrestle for most of the game. It was a real good workout, I think. You know, I suppose one negative from our point of view, and it was kind of, you know, just flashbacks a little bit to moments of last season where you were shooting yourself in the foot. Tries that we conceded was off glaring mistakes, and, you know, one of the tries then comes straight off the scrum play. You know, there was mistakes from backfield, and, you know, at this level, obviously young up-and-coming Super League lads, and then obviously, you know, the Championship where we obviously operate all season, you will get punished at this level. You know, it's as simple as that. So, you know, there was early warning signs there of, you know, you've got to fix that up or you will be punished, because the Championship especially, you know, it's getting stronger. But I thought the standout for Widnes, and I think a lot of people have been really pleased to see it, was you know, how good and how comfortable that pattern, you know, played, because at times he was wearing a dinner jacket and he was, a step above probably anybody on the pitch when he was in that, you know, last 30 metres, ready to pull the trigger with a pass. You know, I thought he went really well, and I thought Lewis Hall did really well down the middle as well. I was impressed with his, you know, distribution, and he got stuck into his defence also. So I think, you know, it was good to see them two especially really flourish.
Yeah, I thought Tom Gilmore was excellent. I thought he was, I think I give him man of the match in League Express. But yeah, I mean, the debt pattern thing is, I think, I don't want to get too carried away, but if Widnes could keep him focused on the rugby and keep him fit, he could actually be one of the best players, if not the best player in the championship. And now Widnes have got a decent pack to play in front of him, you know, to give him a bit of space. And he's got Tom Gilmore as well, so he doesn't have to do it all himself. He can give, you know, they showed some great shape. In that first 20 minutes, the Widnes were playing some great shape with Patton Gilmore and Jack Owens. And I think where Widnes are this season now, they've got a good probably seven frontline middles, if you like, where, you know, Gavin Bennion's, I think he's number 21. You're looking at, like, they've got the pack there to protect someone like Patton. And don't get me wrong, there are some good teams in the championship, but it feels like Widnes have got the ingredients to actually make it work for Depp Patton, and his kicking game as well. I know he's got a big kicking game on him as well, and that makes a difference, because I think Gilmore's more of a short kicker, isn't he? I think you know, and probably Joe Lyons is the same, to be perfectly honest. So all of a sudden, when you're in a bit of a pickle and you can give it to Patton to boom up the pitch, it does make a big difference.
I think that, like you say, mate, I think that was the most pleasing part, the pair of them, not to exclude Tom Gilmore. I thought, you know, they looked like they played with each other for many seasons. It didn't look like the first game together.
Yeah, and that's good. He's wearing the number 19 shirt, and Alan Coleman said that he basically said to him he's got to earn the number 6 shirt. You know, Joe Lyons did well last season. He's retained the number 6, and I suppose it's a good, probably a sign of how Alan Coleman manages his players, that he said to all the new guys, basically, you've got to wrestle the starting shirt off the one that's got it. So, yeah, I think that was it. That was an encouraging sign for Widnes, for sure. It's always a tough one. It's always a tough one, them games, because, like, I was having the argument with Matt Turner, who I'm good friends with, obviously, who works for the Warrington Guardian. I was having the argument with him where he was saying, oh, Widnes should be battering these, Widnes should be all over these. And I'm like, well, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, all them Warrington lads, however young they are, they're all full-time. They're all full-time athletes. Rugby's their job, whether they're 18, 21, whatever. Rugby's their full-time job. And yeah, the Widnes lads have got a bit more experience and a bit more nous and stuff. But ultimately, you know, they train two or three times a week and have normal jobs. So, yeah, I don't know where you stand on that side of the argument, Mike. But, I thought Widnes were good value in the end for the win. And I thought it was probably reflective of how the game went.
Yeah, I hope it's a regular feature now of years to come, because it got lost for a few years. And, you know, even if it is, you know, to bring in the crowds, gets people excited, local derby, etc. But yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, like players like Max Wood, for example, you know, he's a big lad, and make no mistake about it. And if he's, you know, training full time, plus the fact that, you know, they had some, you know, first teamers in there as well, let's not forget, you know, towards the end, you know, I know they brought on some really young players and stuff, and, you know, that's obviously where Widnes, you know, got an upper hand. But I think the fixture and the way the sides have played it the last 2 years, there's benefits to both. Widnes need the fitness side more of it, probably. And then the youngsters at Warrington probably need to learn the ruck a bit more, you know, coming up against, you know, physical battle-hardened championship players who'll stick an elbow in and rough you up on the ground. And, you know, that's probably the part of the game where, you know, they'll probably benefit from. So for me, the fixture, I think it's perfect. It's just a shame, obviously, you know, from our point of view, you know, we lost the Crusaders game because what that's meant is you've had to concentrate everything into the, you know, the 180 minutes to then go into Rochdale. And I do think, you know, going into that Rochdale game, there will be a bit of, you know, tweaking still. I'm not saying we'll use it as a pre-season friendly, but a couple of players who Alan might want to see a little bit more of might get the nod in that game because of the loss of the Crusaders fixture.
Yeah, I do believe they had a little bit of a hit out with Crusaders, a bit of a training match against Crusaders after the, you know, of the game, the fixture itself got called off because of the weather. But I do think they've had a training match in the meantime, and I know that's not the same as a proper match, but hopefully it got what they needed. I made this point before kickoff. I think it's a difficult sell, this Warrington Widnes thing, and I'll tell you why. I think the crowd was 3,600, which was okay. It was probably better. That crowd was actually probably better than I thought it would be, because the problem you've got is Warrington fans aren't really that bothered about coming out because they know it's their young, you know, their youth team, their reserves, whatever. You might get the odd. You'll get the diehards going because they want to go and watch rugby, or because they might want to see some of the lads who are coming through the academy. And then from a Widnes point of view, it's not, it's not about the Warrington thing, really. It's about more watching Widnes, whereas it's hard sell because you know you're basically playing Warrington reserves, aren't you? And it's just a shame that that's where the game is now, that the gulf between Super League and Championship is to the point that the game's like that. But having said that, I do recall the ones, I think there was a Boxing Day one, or maybe a late December one, even when Widnes were in Super League, where I think Warrington put 40 or something on Widnes, even when Widnes were in Super League. And you were like, what a waste of time. Yeah. It was. Whereas I suppose at least now, it's a worthy exercise from a game of rugby. It's just a hard sell, isn't it, in terms of selling tickets?
Yeah, that, you know, it's probably a fair reflection. But having said that, you know, to throw a different spin on it, I guess, is, you know, just over 3,000. There won't be many games we go to this season that have a 3,000 crowd. And that includes probably, you know, your home games. So I suppose, now, obviously, you know, Warrington are a Super League club and you'd hope for a bit more. But at the same time, you know, in terms of a Championship attendance, it'd probably be one of the biggest we get to this year, which is probably a shame and says a lot of where the Championship's up to in rugby league below the top tier.
And all this stuff about Salford and all that in Super League, I think the reality is that we need to find a way of making the Championship feel bigger. The problem you have at the moment is it's like Super League's the be all and end all, and I suppose to some people it is. I suppose even if you got the Championship being a lot more high profile and exciting, the reality is that Warrington's first team would be significantly better than Widnes's, and that, you know, it wouldn't be a contest really, and that's unfortunately what rugby league's done over the last, I don't know if you'd call it 20 years maybe. That gulf between the full-time elite clubs and the rest is so high. The problem is that there's probably only six or seven elite clubs, and then the rest, it depends on how fortunate you are, whether you're on the right side of the fence or not. I did find it interesting that there was an article on NRL.com. Steve Mascord, the Australian journalist, was at the game on Friday, and I noticed that it described Widnes as Warrington's feeder club in the article, which
will not go down well.
I thought was a little bit close to the bone. Alan Coleman did mention actually that they had offers from several other clubs to go in dual reg with. And in fact, on that note, he did a formal press conference after the game on Friday, did Alan Coleman. So I might be a bit quieter than I am usually in the asking the questions, but here's what he had to say to the assembled press. Alan, what was your overall assessment of that?
Happy. Just speaking down there then, you know, most important thing for us today was to pick no injuries up. We've got a real small squad at the moment. We've got some new players who's not played at club and don't know our processes and our ethos of our club. And I'm really impressed with how they fitted in today. You know, we come against a quality young Warrington side who's got quite a bit of Super League experience though. We knew they were going to be fitter than us, a bit more stronger than us being full time. I thought we matched them at times, and I just thought we showed a bit of desire and a lot of togetherness. So really happy with how we fixed together instantly, basically.
Seemed to move the ball quite well in that first 20 minutes when you had Jack Deck and Tom Hall on the field at the same time. That must be
included. Yeah, we've got three smart players though. If you've got Tom Gilmore and Deck Patton on either side, you're a threat both sides. And Jack, being Jack and experienced, he'll pick right side most times. That's a real strong point for us and a plus point. Where last year we probably went to one side more than the other just because of, having that dominance, what Tom Gilmore has. And I think by splitting it, it questions defences. And I think at times we played quite a bit out of yardage and we got them quite early on tackle two. Player three coming on our right edge, especially down with Matt Fleming and Mike Butt, that edge.
Has Dan Murray said anything about his try backing off a breakthrough the middle?
Yeah, he just says, that you get your rewards when you push. So no, he was good. He showed some character. He doesn't have to do a nudie, which is always good for a middle early doors. But no, I was really impressed because it's difficult. We'd seven middles there tonight, and in an ideal world, you'd have six possibly, just so you can rotate them regular. But we had to bring Gavin as well, and it was difficult. But I thought they was very patient, and we kept mixing and matching them. But I think we're a lot stronger in the middle this year than last year.
What did you make of Aidan Dealing? Obviously, he's been training with Warrington, so I suppose a bit of an odd one for him playing against the lads he's training with. But how did you think he went?
I thought he was really good. First 20 minutes, we spoke to him at half-time when we brought him off about he was really engaging the markers and getting out, and they was being really tight, and he was tipping on great, but there were some times he could have probably took metres and took yardage for us. So it was just nice to see him slot in there. He's only had four or five sessions with us, but also his work rate, that's a key thing. He's involved in every tackle nearly, if you notice. He's a third man chop or his first initial contact, and it just shows, he's been in some good places. He's been in some good systems here at Warrington, went to Australia and then back for pre-season here. So it's really good to see that. So it was vital we give him that game time, and I was really impressed with him.
And from a Warrington point of view, any players in there that stood out for you that you might have an eye on for maybe drafting into your team at some point in the season?
Oh yeah, quite a few. I thought the young nine Arthur was really good. I thought Max Wood was Max Wood, and very, very highly rated player. He played for us last year and he was good for us. And the back line, you've got Taylor Ray there, who's just, so explosive. And, you look at him, you put him in our team on our surface, especially with our pivots. And Jack can play anywhere, basically, as well, to accommodate that. But he's just got bags of pace, and that's what the game's about. And he was always a threat. We spoke about having our... I thought we was really impressed with our kick chase today, where we kept our line. Instead of being staggered, we had to, else he'd have found space. But he nearly found space two or three times. And on tackle four, well, he gets such a quick ruck on tackle five with how he takes that tackle four play. The kick's quality, and they score two tries from kicks. So, he was very impressive. But a few youngsters, to be honest. But I think the three what stood out for me was Artil, Wood and Tillery.
You've got a Challenge Cup next week. How important is it to maybe set up a game where you've got a couple of rounds perhaps to get through before you get Super League opposition, but how important is it to have a little bit of a cup run this year?
It is. Is it a priority? Probably not. The 1895 is more important for us. It's a competition where you get a realistic opportunity to go to Wembley. So that is our main focus. But we, as a club, financial-wise, it's massive. But we've got to respect Rochdale. And if we beat them, we've got to respect North Wales. And we will do. If we're lucky enough to get through them games, it'd be great to draw the Wolves again just for the crowd more than anything in a real competitive game where they'd they'd go full tilt, I've no doubt about that. You know, Austin Tellings, Wigan, all Lee, the North West clubs, you know, it's vital for us that, because that would give us an absolute fantastic day as a club, what we've earned, but more than anything, it'd reward us financially.
Has Sam mentioned how many he's taken to Vegas, who he's taken to Vegas, which I guess you get the guys that stay home.
I wish he were taking me, but unfortunately not. No, you know, we speak with Gary Chambers mainly. You know, Sam's right man, basically, director of rugby, and they've been really good with us. And we got offered Wigan, Leeds, Saints, basically every North West Super League club to do Reds this year. And we stuck with Warrington just because of the relationship we had last year. I thought that was tremendous with us. And if you look at the squad, like I just said then, I think from squad number 18 down to squad number 27, 28, they're all quality in my eyes. So, you know, first thing is I've got to judge my players, which I have done tonight, against players who respectfully might be given. I think my players put a good account of themselves out there. But I've no doubt if Warrington stay injury-free, majority of them on that field tonight would be an option for us. Fingers crossed.
Just to have a good season, your middle units are key, aren't they? And I thought your two props, Murray and Riley, and Lewis and Rodri, they had a belting game out there tonight. So that must stand you in good stead in terms of getting on top of teams, and then clearly you've got the pace on the outside. You must be pretty pleased with the way the whole setup went on.
Yeah, and Martin Riley was out most of the year. He played the last league game at Barrow and the playoff game at York. And I think, you know, I've made him vice captain this year because he's just something we've not had. You know, we just support them, me and my assistant, and he's just so hard to put to ground. And he's got an offload game and he's just robust. And if you noticed, every error in contact from Warrington come from Martin Riley's initial contact in the ruck. He's a leader, and he's not the quickest of middles, but he's just got that aura about him where people respect him. Dan Murray's, you know, he's been a full-time player for many years, and he brings a real good attitude to the club, and his work rate's phenomenal. You know, and then, as you say, Lewis Hall, Rodri Lloyd, Danny Langtree, Ryan Lannan, there's some massive experience there, and we need that. You know, you look at Featherstone and Bradford and Oldham, who they're recruited. You know, but I'm really confident. I've spoke to quite a few media people now and said, if I can keep, I know it's a small squad, but if I can keep everyone fit, I'm quite happy with what I've got.
So Alan Coleman there speaking after the win over Warrington. He did mention three Warrington players specifically in the fullback Kai Taylor-Ray, Max Wood and Ben Hartill, the hooker. Were there any other players, Mike, that you like the look of, who you thought might be a player that you'd like to see at Widnes at some point in 2025?
I think the one that I was kind of obviously concentrating on the most was probably, you know, Zach Bardsley-Rowe, because of obviously, you know, the links from obviously last year. But I've got to be honest and give a little bit of credit to Adam Jones. I thought on the other side, you know, I thought he did really well. Were you thinking, well, you know, if the three stay fit, hopefully, you know, we might not need him. But, you know, Kai Taylor-Ray, like you've just said, he's a heck of a talent. And last season when we played them, you know, Brad Dwyer carved us open, and he had a real impact in that game also. He's a cracking talent. And obviously, you know, Max Wood, you know what you're going to get from him already. He's probably just touching, knocking on the first team, isn't he? But if we can get him from a couple of games as well, you know, I think he'll really add some beef and, you know, aggression to that front row. So, yeah, I think Alan, in fairness, he's probably got that right.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Taylor-Ray play for Warrington at Cass last year, and he was absolutely electric. He's naturally not going to be getting many games because, of course, they've got Matt Duffy at fullback. He sort of hinted that, you know, the Jake Mason situation, the plan was that Jake Mason was going to come in and play fullback, and then Jack Owens, who Alan Coleman says could play anywhere, would probably do a dual role in the centre, as we saw on a few occasions last season. I wonder whether Alan Coleman might be hoping that they can get Taylor-Ray to play fullback most weeks, which would be quite a coup.
Well, I'll tell you something, James. If we get that, you will see some long distance tries because he has got absolute pace to burn. Like I say, just thinking back to last season when we played Warrington, and you know, for the lad as well, like you say, fullback, it's one of them positions, isn't it? It's very difficult to get minutes under your belt because most championship sides have the spine set, including the fullback, and obviously Super League clubs, you know, that they also do. So it is a bit of a tricky one to, you know, be exposed to adult rugby. But if that was the plan anyway, which we had a feeling it was going to be the case, then it might be the ideal opening for him. And you never know, you know, we could get the fruits of it.
Yeah, it's interesting that debate because, and I suppose you sort of touched on it a little bit with the Adam Jones thing, is that I think fans are always calling, or fans certainly last year's have been calling for Widnes to have a bigger squad and have more players, which is fine. But then it's like, where does it leave the dual registration thing? Because ultimately you can only, and I completely get the position, Alan Coleman's pretty clear that he wants to give his own players a chance first, and that's how it's got to be. But then when you're carrying more players, it gives less chance for you to fit in. You know, look at the Reece Williams situation, for instance. They signed Reece Williams. Warrington might look at that and think, well, hang on, we could have put Alfie Johnson or whoever, you know, Jake Foulis in the Widnes team rather than him signing for them. But then at the same time, you can never trust that they're going to be there. I thought Johnson, who's the rugby union convert, I thought he was good going forward, but he was a bit similar to Cameron Brown, to be fair. Good going forward, but a bit shaky in the back. He probably did a couple of naive things, which probably with him being newish to the sport. And I looked at Halley. I think Halifax announced their squad numbers, and they only had 20.
Yeah,
so that points that. So they're, you know, they're dual reg with St. Helens. So that points to me that they're basically going to have probably four St. Helens players every week. And that, and I suppose that's the balance you've got to get. It's like, well, do you have 27, 28 year own players? Yeah. Or do you basically say, right, we're just going to have 20 of our own and definitely get four in from somewhere else?
Well, that's it. And then there's obviously, like you say, the important bit for us as well is the players that you're getting, they've got to be ready. And, you know, a couple that you've just mentioned there, you know, might fall in the bracket where they're not quite ready for championship rugby, and they end up at Keighley because Warrington have got a dual reg partnership with Keighley as well. It is a juggling act at dual reg because you'd be a fool to ignore it because, like you say, you know, Taylor A, for example, if you can get your hands on a player like that, who's only going to benefit you, you know, in terms of spending, if you're going to get a player like that off your own back, on your own books, it's going to cost a bit, do you know what I mean? So you'd be a fool to ignore it. But then, you know, it's about balancing your own players, and like we seen it last year, didn't we? Where, you know, we wasn't getting benefits, and then we was. It's a real challenge, but you'd be a fool to ignore it and help yourself to it where possible.
Yeah, it's just it is a tricky one, and it's far from ideal, I think, the setup, and I've no doubt that we'll probably have the same debates this season as we did last season. In various weeks of the season, when, you know, maybe you've got a hole that you can't fill, or maybe you've got, there's a player that plays against you who's on loan from Warrington somewhere. The Salford situation will be interesting. I don't know where Salford are up to, but you might find that if Salford end up having to shift out a load of players, that all of a sudden some of these, like Maxwood, for example, Warrington might think, actually, we could probably get him on loan at Salford. He'd probably play Super League.
Yeah.
For them, and that might work out better for them. So we shall see.
Just with the dual reg and stuff, I think you mentioned it on one of the podcasts last season, and when I think about it, I mean, whether people take up the idea is another thing, but I think I quite like the idea of, you know, if you're dual registered with a club, maybe having an agreement with, say, two or three players where you go, right, they are going to be the players that are transferring to you, and they can't play for anybody else in that league. You know, they can go to League One or maybe go to a Super League club, that's fair enough. But, you know, they're registered to you. And I think by doing something or something along them lines. At least you get consistency for the player and consistency for the club. And then if it isn't working out, you can terminate it and then they're free then to move on if it went that way.
Yeah, I am full of good ideas, Mike, but nobody listens, unfortunately. So, other signings, do you think? I mean, the Doolan situation's clearly going to be dependent on what happens with Johnston in the next few weeks. I guess if the diagnosis, if in a week or 2 weeks' time, there's no sign of maybe Johnston returning to the field, it might just be a case of Widnes have to take Doolan on. I guess in some ways, I think it's probably dependent on his own situation, because I guess he's probably hoping maybe to get a contract back at Warrington. He's too old for academy, but he could play for reserves. I suppose the door's open for both at the moment, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any chance in, you know, signing him, me personally, you know, I would look into it. Obviously, you know, Alan will see more of him, you know, in training than obviously what we have. But I quite like the idea of having a third hooker. You know, of course, you know, you've got, they'll have to be really good to knock Matty Fozard and Jordan Johnson out the way. But at the same time, you've got to manage them players. And, you know, you could be in a world where both aren't available at the same time. So for me personally, I think carrying a third hooker with, you know, the new rules coming in about players only being allowed to play a certain amount of minutes in a season, I think it's a good idea. I think other than that, obviously, you know, what we've seen on Friday with, you know, the winger situation and Reece Williams, I think the other area for me would be back row / centre, because, you know, you've got Ryan Lannan, who's been given the 13 jersey and, you know, quite rightly so, his first month here, you know, player of the month, strong leg drive, you know, he's going to be wanted in the middle. And that leaves you with, you know, obviously, you know, Rodri Lloyd, you know, Max Roberts, Danny Langtree. You think maybe, you know, just one more in that area, because if not, and you pick up one or two injuries, you're moving Lannan into the back row and you're shuffling things around, just thinking maybe you could be, you know, one body short there potentially, and then maybe the same at centre. If you pick up another injury, you're down to two, and, you know, everybody knows what happened last year. We had about four or five different centres. So, yeah, I think that'd be the kind of area where I'd be looking at, and then anything
other. Are you going to mention Max? I know you're dying to mention Max Clark, Mike. Are you going to mention him as a possible option?
Yeah, I think he's a cracking player, you know, and people who know me, mate, you know, I've made no secrets about mentioning him, and, you know, he can cover both. You know, he's a great size, he's a great age. You know, I think, what is he, 24, something like that now? And you just think a player coming in of that age and that size who can cover both equally as well. You know, he's got his best years ahead of him. You know, it's an opportunity for Alan to get hold of somebody and mould them into, you know, a player he wants them to be and give him a bit of consistency staying in a team.
He's got that Welsh connection. He plays for Wales, so maybe Reece Williams is being brought in to try and persuade him.
Not play for Swinton though, but he's played for Wales. And, yeah, you know, he scored a cracking try against it. Well, he burst down the left hand side, didn't he? Game of the season.
To be honest, Barrow had offered him a deal to stay, and he hadn't signed it. And then I think by the time he went back to them and said, "Yeah, he'll stay," I think they've signed Ellis Robson, haven't they, Barrow? So the deal was sort of off the table. And to be honest, I think they probably dropped one there, because they could have had a really, their back row could have been Clark Robson and Ryan King, which would have been, I would be pretty happy if I was Barrow and that was my back three, but in the pack. But yeah, I noticed that Keithley have followed Max Clark on Twitter, and they've got a trialist named in a squad this week. So maybe putting two and two together suggests that he's going to play for them this weekend. He has been at Bradford before as well. So, but yeah, if he does end up at Widnes, we'll let you take the credit for that, Mike.
Maybe people.
This weekend, attention turns to the Challenge Cup, and you'll have heard I asked Alan Coleman about the Challenge Cup, and he was pretty blunt in saying that the 1895 Cup is the bigger priority for Widnes this year, because of course it gives you that chance of going to Wembley, and that would be a nice boost. Well, I'm sure from a personal point of view, I'm sure Alan Coleman would love to lead a team out at Wembley. And from a, I don't know, Widnes went there coming up to 6 years ago, but I suppose where Widnes are as a club, it'd be a nice achievement. But ultimately, they are in the Challenge Cup. It's Rochdale away this week, and then it's either North Wales or Cornwall away in the following round, which is in a fortnight's time. I think the smart money is that on. I wouldn't be booking any hotels in Cornwall, to be honest, Mike. I think that's the what I'm hearing. But Rochdale would be an interesting one, because Rochdale usually do okay. They're a team that wants to get into the Championship. I think what's been bugging me slightly is the, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Mike, but Rochdale football team's matches have been getting called off quite frequently recently. I think they've had 3 or 4 games in a row called off, and they've been doing a load of work on the pitch at Spotland, or the Crown Oil Arena, as it's known for sponsorship reasons. And the football are playing on Saturday, and they're also playing at home on Tuesday night. So the Widnes game's sandwiched in between them two. And so, yeah, there might be some angry football fans on Sunday night if the pitch gets churned up too much. But with all due respect to Rochdale, it's a game that Widnes should be expecting to go and win relatively routinely.
Yeah, they're a top four, top five, you know, League One team, aren't they? And, you know, it's one of them games, you know, without being disrespectful, you know, Rochdale, they're gonna come out firing, aren't they? And they're gonna use it as a bit of a yardstick and see where they're up to and see if they can have a go and cause Widnes problems. But ultimately, you know, for me and my point of view, and this isn't being cocky or arrogant or anything like that, if we play anywhere close to what we did on Friday night, I think we sail home to victory. Then if we do meet North Wales Crusaders, I do believe they're one of the ones to watch in League One next season. And I think that could potentially be a bit of a banana skin, like, you know, Swinton was in that 80-95 Cup game earlier on, you know, in the season last year, where, you know, we come unstuck. Been impressed with, you know, North Wales signings. So that, you know, that could have the potential to be a cracker if we get that far.
Yeah, and I think I'm right in saying, oh yeah, it's the 80-95, it's the Challenge Cup this week, then it's the 80-95 Cup, isn't it, the week after. Rochdale play Cornwall at home the week after. Rochdale actually playing Oldham on Wednesday night this week, so you don't often play two games so close together, but of course they wanted to get that fixture in against Oldham. Speaking of Oldham, they're probably one of the teams to keep an eye out on in the Championship this season. I think you're looking at maybe Bradford, Oldham, Sheffield. For me, I think they'll be a team who'll do well, and possibly Featherstone as the four to watch. Toulouse, and we'll do a proper show on this close to the season, but I think Toulouse are always a hard one because you're never quite sure who they're going to have and what the local players are going to be like. And London Broncos are going through this ownership saga. Not mentioned York either, who were good, certainly in the second half of last season. It promises to be another competitive year, and I suppose goes back to the whole thing about why the Championship deserves a bit more profile, because ultimately you could probably go to any match next season and it'd be tough to call.
100%. And I think we've seen that last year, didn't we? Right to the bitter end, who had, you know, Dewsbury turning over, you know, Sheffield right at the bitter end, you know, to throw a spanner in the works of, you know, the playoff race. Probably the one scenario that nobody kind of looked at, that result, and, you know, it changed things again. But absolutely, it's going to be a cracking year. I think, speaking on York, I think when Mark Applegarth got in there, apart from Wakefield, they was probably the consistent side, and they looked to have a bit of everything. They had quality, you know, the middles looked fit, You know, they had excitement on, you know, in the outside backs. I think all the talk around Featherstone, Bradford, quite rightly so, what they're spending, Oldham coming up. I think York had been a little bit hard done to of the work that they put in, you know, last year. I think, you know, they could be one of the ones to watch if they can get that start of the season right. And I think as well, I think Sheffield have made an excellent appointment, not just on the field, but I think, you know, Craig Lingard there as the head coach, with obviously Mark Aston's going to be in the background a little bit, isn't he, and stuff. But I think that is a, you know, a real smart coaching appointment. And, you know, adding players like Jack Bussey and so on and so forth. I think Jack Walker's there now, and they've got Matty Marsh there. I mean, two outstanding fullbacks. So, yeah, plenty of quality and plenty of excitement, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of games going to the wire.
Yeah, right. So what's going on then? Widnes are away at Rochdale on Sunday. Then they'll definitely have a week off after then. Then, assuming they beat Rochdale, it'll be Cornwall or North Wales away on the weekend of February 8th and 9th. My early request is that if North Wales fancy playing it on the Friday night, that would be ideal for me, because I'm otherwise engaged on both the Saturday and Sunday that weekend. And then the first championship game of the season is on Saturday, February 15th, at Toulouse. Are you going to Toulouse, Mike?
Unfortunately not, due to circumstances. I was umming and ahhing right to the bitter end, but unfortunately it's just going to be too much of a push just because of personal reasons. But
I can't go either, because I'm already away that weekend. I'm in the Lake District, unfortunately. So so that's the 15th, and then the first home game is the following Sunday against Sheffield, so that takes us to 23rd of February. And then the 1st and 2nd of March, the weekend of the 1st and 2nd of March, is the next round, they're calling it the first round of the 1895 Cup, it's actually the third round, but they're calling the previous two rounds preliminary rounds.
Like to make things exciting, don't they?
So effectively, the 1895 Cup will be, the 12 championship teams are being joined by the four remaining League One teams after they've had two rounds. So it'll be, well, it's pointless me going through it, but there's effectively there's three games in the first round, and then the three winners will take on whoever else. There's four games in the next round, and yeah, they have to make it complicated, don't they? So that'll be an 1895 Cup game. That'll be the first or second of March. That's if I don't go to Vegas, Mike, because I've still not given up hope on someone sending me to Vegas for the Wigan Warrington match. And then the week after that is Batley away. That's always one people look forward to. And then March the 16th is the next round of the Challenge Cup. So if Widnes were to beat Rochdale and then to beat North Wales or Cornwall, it'd be March the 16th. And the likelihood is that you'd play a Super League team on that weekend. So that's your next few weekends planned. The podcast will be back we're going to be back on a weekly basis now. The season's starting to get going. Please do, as always, leave your comments on the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page. We're going to try and do a few updates on the website as well this season, so you can keep up to date with things on widnesrugby.com. Anything else to add, Mike? Have I covered everything there?
I think we have. It's just good to have rugby back, isn't it?
Well, it is when Widnes are winning, that's for sure. So hopefully that continues. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Do give us a like or a review or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, radio, wherever you listen to us. And if you are interested in sponsoring the podcast this year, we're going to start doing we're going to start doing them on video as well. I'm trying to get a little studio set up so we can start having them a bit of visual, so you can see our pretty faces while we record the podcast. And we always promise to get guests in, and that's hopefully going to enable us to do that as well. So if you or your business fancy sponsoring us to help us cover the cost of running the podcast, that would be fantastic. Please do get in touch via Twitter or X or Facebook or wherever you see us. But for this week and the first episode of 2025. That's all for now. We'll see you next week.